When I began a sermon series back at the beginning of January titled Abraham, A Journey of Faith, little did I know that I would be preaching the last message in that series at the end of April in front of a video camera in the middle of a pandemic. Back on January 5th, when I preached the first message in this series, we looked at God's call to Abraham to leave his homeland and to go to a land that God would show him. And so Abraham began that journey not knowing exactly where God was leading him. Well, we are certainly on a similar journey today, aren't we? Here we are gathering for the sixth Sunday in a row, online, not in person, still not knowing how long this will last, or where exactly God is taking us in the midst of this. Back on my sermon on January 5th, I talked about how we were facing a new year ahead of us, and we didn't really know exactly what this new year would hold. Well, little did we know that in just a couple of months, we would be sheltering in place in our homes, that we would be wearing masks when we go outside, and that businesses and restaurants and schools would be closed, even including our own church building. But I also spoke about the fact that although Abraham didn't know where God was taking him exactly, God was calling Abraham to let go of many things like control and safety and security and comfort. But still, God was also giving Abraham some promises, amazing promises, even as he called him to step out into that journey of faith. And one of those promises that God gave to Abraham was that he was going to make Abraham into a great nation. But as we've talked about several weeks since then, this wasn't an easy promise for Abraham to believe because he didn't have a child. And when God gave him this promise, Abraham was 75 years old and his wife Sarah was 65 and barren. And then 24 years passed with still no child from Sarah. But then finally, when Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90, God gave them a son, and they named him Isaac. Genesis 21 records the birth of Isaac and Sarah's response of joyful laughter at the miracle that God had done for them. But God wasn't finished with Abraham's journey of faith. God had one more journey for Abraham to take, and it would be the hardest journey that Abraham would have to take. As God called Abraham to sacrifice his son, the son he had waited 25 years for, the son who represented the fulfillment of God's promises, would Abraham walk that journey of faith? Well, today in our final message of this Abraham series, we're going to look at Abraham's hardest journey and what we can learn from it for our lives as well. So we're going to be looking at Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son, Isaac, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham!" "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." I want to start by looking at the reason for the journey. The reason for the journey. Why does God call Abraham to walk this hardest journey, to sacrifice his son on a mountain? Well, the first glimpse that we get is right at the beginning of the passage. Verse 1 says, "Sometime later, God tested Abraham." So this journey was meant to be a test, to reveal something about Abraham and his character. And the specific thing it was meant to reveal is spoken by the angel of the Lord in verse 12. At the moment when Abraham is about to sacrifice his son, the angel of the Lord calls out to him from heaven and tells him not to lay a hand on the boy. And then he says, "Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." You see, God wanted to see if Abraham would be willing to give up his son if God asked him to. He wanted to see if Abraham truly feared God above all other things. In his book, Counterfeit Gods, Pastor Tim Keller writes about this incident, and he says this. He says, "This doesn't mean that God was trying to find out if Abraham loved him. The all-seeing God knows the state of every heart. Rather, God was putting Abraham through the furnace so his love for God could finally come forth as pure gold. It is not hard to see why God was using Isaac as the means for this. If God had not intervened, Abraham would have certainly come to love his son more than anything in the world, if he did not already do so. That would have been idolatry, and all idolatry is destructive." Keller points out that Abraham's love for his son Isaac could have become idolatrous, where Abraham would have loved Isaac more than he loved God. And this isn't difficult to imagine. Abraham had been waiting 25 years for this son, and all of his hopes were wrapped up in this boy. Even the way that God presents this test to Abraham points in this direction. In verse 2, God says to Abraham, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love." God emphasizes how much Abraham adored Isaac. Again, Tim Keller writes, "No man had ever longed for a son more than Abraham. He had given up everything else to wait for this. He had waited and sacrificed, and finally his wife had a baby, and it was a boy. But the question now was, had he been waiting and sacrificing for God or for the boy? Was God just a means to an end? To whom was Abraham ultimately giving his heart?" It is very easy to take someone or something that is good and a gift from God and turn it into something that is ultimate in our lives. It could be your career, where your sense of value is tied to your success or your productivity. It could be your family, where you look to your spouse or your kids or your grandkids for ultimate validation. Or it could be possessions that you own, where your home or your car or your bank account or something you collect has become something you look to for your sense of joy and fulfillment. And the idea of losing that thing fills you with fear and dread. I think one of the difficult things about going through this COVID-19 pandemic has been the way that it has threatened things in our lives that we so easily look to for our value and sense of fulfillment. If you get your value from being successful and productive, this pandemic has probably been incredibly painful because now you can't be as productive or as successful because maybe your business closed down, or maybe you got laid off, or maybe you have been forced to work from home with kids running around you in very less than ideal conditions, or maybe you've been thrust into the position of suddenly trying to help your kids do remote learning from home, and you're realizing you're not as successful, you're not as productive, and suddenly that's being taken away from you, and your value, your sense of fulfillment is being threatened. Or maybe this pandemic has felt threatening to your sense of control and your sense of freedom to do what you want. Because here you're being asked to stay at home and to wear a mask in public and to not do so many of the things that you want to do. And your sense of control and your freedom to want to do what you want is being threatened. When we look for our sense of value and fulfillment to these sorts of things, and when these things are threatened or taken away, we can easily react with anger or with anxiety or even with despair. But we don't see that in Abraham, when God asks him to give up his son Isaac. So let's look now at Abraham's response. As God calls him on this journey, what is Abraham's response? And God tells Abraham to take Isaac to one of the mountains in the region of Moriah and to sacrifice him there. And the very next morning, Abraham begins the journey. He cuts wood for the offering. He brings the fire and the knife. And when he gets to the mountain, he builds the altar. He binds up his son, Isaac. He lays him on the wood on the altar, and he even takes the knife in his hand to slay his son. Abraham obeys God. He doesn't run away like he did when he fled to Egypt from a famine and got himself into a mess there that we looked at earlier in Genesis. And he doesn't try to take things into his own hands like he did when he slept with Hagar, Sarah's maidservant, and who then bore Ishmael. And he doesn't even try bargaining with God, like we saw last week when he was asking God to spare Sodom and Gomorrah for the sake of 10 righteous people. No, here in this situation, he simply accepts what God has told him to do. And he walks forward on the journey. But there is a reason that Abraham is able to do this. Because he has seen God provide time and time again. He saw God rescue his wife Sarah when she was taken into Pharaoh's court in Egypt. And he saw God give him an amazing victory over kings who had taken his nephew Lot captive. And he saw God rescue his nephew Lot and his family from the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he had even seen God give him and Sarah a son when he was 100 years old and she was 90. Abraham had seen God provide in very difficult, almost impossible situations over and over again. And so when God told him to take Isaac to a mountain and sacrifice him there, Abraham believed that somehow God was going to provide in that situation too. And we get hints of this throughout our passage. In verse 5, Abraham says to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Notice that he says, "We will come back." Did Abraham believe that God would somehow spare his son? In verses 7 and 8, when Isaac asks Abraham about the lamb for the burnt offering, Abraham replies, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." Abraham trusted that God would somehow provide for them. See, Abraham knew that God had made this promise to him to make him into a great nation, and that he would do it through his son Isaac. And although there were moments along Abraham's journey when Abraham questioned God's promises, or where he tried to make them happen according to his own plan, through all of the twists and the turns in his journey, God had finally brought Abraham to this place of trust. And so when God asked him to give up the son that he loved so deeply, Abraham believed that somehow God would provide. The author of the book of Hebrews, in chapter 11, verse 19, writes, "Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death." When God calls you to let go of something that you are holding tightly to, do you believe that he will provide for you? Or when something is taken away from you that you have been trusting in for your sense of worth, your sense of security, do you believe that God will still take care of you? When you lose your job, or you find yourself failing, or your 401k has gone down the tubes, or you lose a loved one, or you become sick, or your life feels out of control, will you trust God's promises? Will you wait on him? Will you keep walking forward on your journey, trusting that God will somehow provide, even if you don't see how right now? The final thing that we see in our text today is that God does provide. So let's finish by looking at God's provision. With Abraham, God stops him from sacrificing Isaac just in the nick of time. And so God provides for Abraham here by giving back Isaac to him. Now, does that mean that every time God calls us to let go of something, he's going to give it back to us? That as long as I'm willing to sacrifice success or comfort or security or control, that God won't actually take those things away from me? No, that's not the lesson that we're meant to get from Abraham's hardest journey. There may be times when God does give back something that we have had to let go of for a period of time. But if that's all that we're looking for, then we're right back where we started, where we are treating God as a means to another end, where we are really finding our sense of fulfillment in the thing that we're hoping we're going to get back from him. No, the deeper provision that we see in our text comes after God stops Abraham. Verse 13 says, Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." God provides a substitute for Isaac with this ram. And that ram was actually pointing ahead to the ultimate substitute, to God's greatest provision. You see, many years later, another firstborn son carried the wood that he was then stretched out upon as a sacrifice. But when the beloved Son of God was stretched out on the cross, there was no voice from heaven calling down to stop Jesus' death at the last minute. No, God the Father gave up his only Son. And Jesus became the Ram, the Lamb of God, who took our place on the altar. And when we realize this and what it truly means, it frees us to let go of the things that we are tempted to trust in for our value and our sense of security and fulfillment. And it frees us instead to trust in the God who provided Jesus for our salvation. In Counterfeit Gods, again, Tim Keller says this: God saw Abraham's sacrifice and said, "Now I know that you love me because you did not withhold your only son from me." But how much more can we look at his sacrifice on the cross and say to God, "Now we know that you love us, for you did not withhold your son, your only son, whom you love from us." When the magnitude of what he did dawns on us, it makes it possible finally to rest our hearts in him rather than in anything else. Brothers and sisters, there will be moments in this pandemic, and even after things begin to going back to normal, when things that we are trusting in for our sense of value or sense of security will be threatened or even taken away. And maybe you have already experienced that over the last few weeks. And the question that we are faced with is, how will we respond when that time comes? Or how do we respond even now? Do we react in anger when that happens? Do we wallow in self-pity and despair? Do we look for who we can blame for taking this away from us? Or do we even turn our backs on God? Or instead, will we follow Abraham up the mountain on the hardest journey, accepting the loss and trusting in God's provision, even if that provision might be different from what we want? Can we look at God's ultimate provision for us in Jesus Christ and say, no matter what else I might lose, I have all that I need in Christ? That I may lose health or wealth or security or comfort or success or control or freedom or power or anything else that I think I can't live without, but I have something far greater than any of that. I have a God who loves me, who will never leave me or forsake me, who gave his one and only Son to die for me. And I have a heavenly inheritance that cannot be taken away from me. Holding on to that will allow us to face whatever may come on our journey until we are finally home with our Lord. Let's pray. God, we confess that in moments where you lead us into a hard journey like Abraham was led upon, where we are called to let go of something that we have trusted in so much, that we have invested so much of ourselves in, when we are threatened with losing something that we have looked to for our security and our sense of value, God, we confess that we are tempted to react in anger and anxiety and even anger at you. Forgive us, Lord, for placing our trust in these other things rather than in you. And Lord, we actually thank you for being merciful to us in confronting us with our idolatry, confronting us with the things that we trust in instead of you, that by taking these things away, you are actually freeing us from them, so that we might then be able to enjoy them as they're meant to be enjoyed, if you choose to give them back to us, but that we would not find our ultimate value in them, but only in you. Thank you, God, for being willing to give up your only Son, Jesus, in our place so that we could be forgiven and could be saved, and so that we could know how deeply you love us. And so, Lord, in the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of moments where we are struggling, Lord, help us to look to the cross and know that when we see how much you showed your love to us there, that we can know that we can trust you, because you are all that we ultimately need. I pray this in Jesus' name.